EA Capital, in partnership with the Finalto Group, are offering an exclusive cash bonus to individual and retail clients. Get 30% extra cash on initial deposit directly into your trading account upon signing up on the Markets.com trading platform, which offers CFDs on shares, Forex, commodities, and ETFs. The minimum investment amount required to open an account and start trading CFDs is $1,500. Upon signing up, you will gain access to educational material and a demo account. Trading CFDs carries a considerable risk of capital loss. EA Capital and Finalto South Africa Pty Ltd are registered financial service providers and are licensed by the FSCA respectively. Terms and conditions do apply.
To advertise, email podcast@thisismechi.com. Release yourself from order and logic and enter a new place. It's not work. It's not home. Here, no maps have been drawn. No books have been written. Nothing is certain. Everything is possible. Welcome to podcast and chill with Machi.
I'm assuming this doesn't end well.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is an honor to introduce our next guest. So, Penduka, am I right in saying that this guy is probably the most recognizable actor in the country?
Definitely.
He's gotta be, bro.
Top five.
Yeah, everybody Top knows five. Him.
Ah, everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the legendary Rapulane Sipemo.
Oh, Kenzo.
No, like for real, I think everybody in the country knows you. There's probably no one who doesn't know you.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
That's the funniest thing because, I'll be working, in a mall or whatever it is, and like a two-year-old comes, and I'm like, when?
Yes, when were you watching?
When are you watching generations to be calling me Tahu? It's like, I'm serious. So, I think.
Do you know I think what happened? Because you've been on our TV screens since I was in diapers, you know? So, I think our parents, right, watched him on screen when he was starting out, right? Then our generation came, we watched him, generations, Tahu, all the amazing productions that you've done, right? And then the new generation, I think that viral video that went viral, the one with Karabo.
Oh yeah, the table.
How does it go quite there? What? How many times?
there's like this chicken thing that they did where this guy was showing me his son. His son. And the son is sitting there watching this, the commercial on television, and just waiting for... What are you teaching your kids? And I'm telling you, it's like once, twice, three times.
So that went viral, and I think that introduced you to the younger crowd, to the younger audience.
I think that's what it is. Yeah.
Your character, Tao, on Generations. I think everybody knows you for that. Like, even till this day, I'm sure when people see you, they still call you Tao.
Yeah.
Was that character a gift or a curse?
No, it was a gift, actually. Yeah. You know, because more often than not, obviously, I mean, you meet up with people who really appreciate the work that you do, but in a not so sensible manner, you know. Sometimes people come up and they're like, and then you're like, okay, fine. Are you saying you appreciate the work that I'm doing? It's like, and it becomes muddled up. But there are those people that comes in, they come in and they are like, you know what, we appreciate what you do. Every, the fact that you visit our, dining rooms and lounge areas every night, the work that you do, we are really, really appreciate it. And that is actual, is the validation that you need. That's all.
I was watching a podcast with Mike Tyson. I don't know if you agree with this, ne? So he was saying that he sees the TV screen as an idiot box. He calls it an idiot box because people that watch or whatever you see on the TV, right? When you see that person, you act like an idiot, which is kind of true because we knew Urntate Rapulane was coming today, but as soon as we saw him, we were like, hey!
Yeah, this is surreal, man. It's like, hey, what's going on now?
Because we've been watching you all our lives. Would you say that's true, though? Would you call it an idiot box? People act like idiots, bro.
Half the time.
Yeah. But, that's the thing because sometimes people, do not know how to draw a line between, you know, real life and fictitious life that we live on TV, basically. And they think, you know, when they see you, they know you. Mm. You know, they own you. Mm. And hey, you know, come here. Sure. Yeah, we're not okay, come on, man. And you're like, okay, fine, relax, I'm here, you know. Mm. And people pull you with one side and you're like, I'm going nowhere. Mm. You know, guys, yeah, you know, I'm going nowhere, I'm here. Mm. You know, and everybody's like, you know, they want a piece of you and all those things. But yeah, I suppose to an extent, that's what it is.
So don't you like sometimes not want to even leave the house, just want to stay there to avoid such things?
No, I stay in my house. No.
Nah.
Yeah. When I go to the mall, I mean, you know, I'll be forced, you know, to go to the mall when there are people during the day. Now I go shopping at night. You know, I go shopping when there's no one, you know, in the mall. Yeah. And I walk around and I know, okay, fine, that's what I need.
Yeah.
And then go very early in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, as the shop opens up, I'm right there. And I'm like, that's what I want. Can I get it? Can I get that? And I'm out.
So you're saying you're window shopping?
Yeah, I do.
You're gonna fret about the one tomorrow. Are there times though when you like you say no, you know, to like pics or anytime people see you, you're game, you're free game?
Yeah, no, but I mean that's the thing. But I mean you also have to control people. I mean, you know, sometimes people just get out of hand. And I remember there was a time this boy. I mean, he's got a bottle of alcohol, he's drunk. Hey, my boy! You know? And there are, you know, there are those times where you have to call people to order and you're like, yeah, man, it's okay. You want to talk to me, it's fine. You can talk to me, but I mean, you're a young boy and you've got a bottle of alcohol. Put it aside, come talk to me, and then I'll listen to you. Mm. You know? Yeah, there has to be an element of respect, basically.
Yeah. What year were you born?
I was born in 1967.
1967?
I'm 55 years old.
Jeez.
So I'm actually in my 56th year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're still looking fresh, eh?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah? You look like a snack, eh? Am I lying, Salt?
Horrible snack. He does look fairly young. Like he's in his 40s or something. Yeah.
How was it growing up in Soweto during those times?
No? It was interesting, though. Mm. I mean, and that's... You know, Soweto made me who I am.
Yeah.
Right, you know, today.
Middlelands.
Yeah, Middlelands.
Yeah.
Zone 9.
Zone 9.
Yeah. A zone that doesn't have street names. Yeah.
Mm.
Tanto Rosebe Dinambangun. 1337. Oh, yeah. No, go straight up, Wabona, and then turn left. Yeah. The first, yeah, short left. Then, yeah. 1337, Nikamo left. Mm. You know, that's the kind of, but I mean, in all honesty, growing up in Soweto made me who I am today.
Mm.
I mean, I grew up at a time, you know, gangsters, and we used to have good gangs, like real gangs, and in Anekosuga, fair, like you know, right there and then, and you grew up, you know, around violence, and you know, not only that kind of violence, but also the violence that we saw, you know, we. The uprisings. I mean,
yeah.
In 1976, I was about 9 years old.
Wow. Mm. Yeah.
So, I mean, I witnessed, you know, Soweto burning. Basically.
Yeah.
I saw it with my own eyes. And, you know, and you lived through those things. You lived through the 80s, you know, when, you know, the South African National Defense Force was in our townships, you know. And, you know, we lived to tell those stories.
Yeah.
About what happened and what didn't happen and all sorts of things. But it was, yeah.
What was a gangster like back in the 70s? What did a gangster look like from Soweto?
No, ordinary people, eh?
Eh.
Yeah, you would be a gangster. Yeah, no, but it's true. It's about people just getting together and deciding, you know what, we are going to be mischievous.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
You know? And people did that. And finally, Madioni, people, you know, Mavarara. And, you know, people, and those days it was not, you know, guns. It was knives.
Okay.
Ogwaza and Osiris. And that's what it was at that time. So you lived through that. I mean, not only one of them was Ogwaza, and you're walking, you're going to church when at that time.
Mm.
You know, that's what it is. But now I grew up in a family that, you know, we were church goers.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah. my parents believed in the church, Lutheran church, mainstream.
Yeah.
So that I grew up in that environment. And Saturdays and Sundays, it was just church. And, you know, trying to keep us out of trouble all the time.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't be joining up with gangsters and everything. Nah.
So you were never part of a gang or like...
Never.
Ever attempted?
Nikhil, you know, a good boy. Yeah?
Mm.
And I was never late at school.
You know,
I was that boy that, you know, did his homework, you know, you dressed up, you know, correctly and ironed his shirt, motsetse, the pants, motsetse, the shoes polished every day.
Yeah.
I was that kind of a kid.
So when your English teacher comes to you and is supporting you and wanting you to do this arts thing, aren't you shocked?
No, I was. No, it was like one of those things. Pelarona, you know, kids these days, it's like already you are in grade 10 and, you know, you can see your future.
Yeah, yes, definitely.
It's like, you know, you wake up one day and you go to school and they say there's a test and you're like, oh, is that test? Okay, fine. Then you write and you fail or you pass. And that was it up until it had to matter most. When it was like, okay, these are exams, that's when you started to say, okay, fine, let me start reading, and you start reading, and then, you know, you get onto it, and you pass, and they're like, eh, you passed. Yeah, no, no, I passed, yeah.
You guys were genius. That's kind of impressive, bro.
Yeah,
so,
man.
So, yeah, at that time, I mean, our teacher, because, you know, English teacher, and what she used to do was, she used to give us, you know, homework, basically, and say, you know what, go and write a dialogue between two individuals.
Mm.
And then when you write it, after writing that, and then you come and enact the whole piece that you have written in front of her, in front of the class.
Mm.
And there was one day she came up to me and she said, you know what, I think you'd be good with performing arts. And I was like, what? Mm. What is performing arts?
Mm.
And then I started researching those things. And I'm like, okay, fine. How? They offer a degree, even they go vets.
Mm, mm,
then I'll go to vets, you know?
Mm.
Then I went to vets to study dramatic arts. And I didn't. Because, in actual fact, because, you know, when you apply, you have like your first choice, your second choice, third choice, and, you know, stuff like that. So my first choice was dramatic arts. Yeah. My second choice was BA in education.
Okay.
So at that time, I don't know if they still do it. At that time, at vets, dramatic arts was a professional degree.
Okay.
It was termed a professional degree.
Mm.
So you had to go through an interview process before they can admit you.
Mm.
So it's like this one, you know, interview where all the teachers, you know, in the faculty are present and they ask you questions and stuff like that. And I mean, it's like it's a hall, you know.
Mm.
And, you know, you walk the green mile, basically, towards that chair. And everybody's sitting, you know, in front and, you know, and they ask you questions. And they ask me questions like, do you know who John Gani is? And I was like, no.
Yo.
Yeah, I didn't at that time. I mean, all I knew was Gibson Kent.
Gibson Kent.
In all honesty, I knew Gibson Kent and I knew, you know, I had the talent to act. But, and, you know, they asked me questions like those. And I'm like, And I was not admitted. So I got into BA in education, which I failed. Basically, I failed two courses. And I was like, no, man, I need to get to that point. So how do I do it? So I went to drama school and then varsity again and came back ultimately to study master's at Wits University. And I looked at Malcolm Pecky. Malcolm Pecky was the head of that department. And, and I'm like, you know, I did come here at one time.
Yeah.
And you refused to enter this program. And he was like, when? And I told him when it was and who was present. And at that time, I'm doing my master's and I'm lecturing at Wits University. And I'm like, you know.
And he should have told him, by the way, I'm doing a play with Dr. Gani.
No, but at that time I had done the play.
Oh, yes.
And it was funny because...
So I know who he is
after,
now.
After this, then I went to drama school.
Yeah.
FUBA, Federated Union of Black Artists. So it was FUBA Academy. I went to that one and I was studying there. And that's when I met John Carney, where I met, you know, people like Bo Many Menim, you know, Bunny Simon. Bunny Simon, I mean, they named a theater after him at the Market Theater.
This is the first theater production you did, right?
That my
what was it called again?
My Children, My Africa.
Yes, yes.
By Arthur Fugard. And at that time, I mean, I'm walking, and Bunny Simon sees me walking past, and he's like, Robin, come here, you know, because he had seen the you know, the student work that we were doing at FUBA, because FUBA was just opposite Market Theater. So they used to come and watch and then critique and all sorts of things. So at that time, I'm just walking past. And the next thing is like, Robin, come here, and why aren't you auditioning? And I was like, auditioning for what? And it's like, no. There's an Arthur Fugard play that's coming to the Market Theater, and you should be auditioning. There's a part that I think you should be auditioning for. And he was like, no, come. Yeah, fill up, you know. And there was someone there, and I filled up, you know, that form and everything. And I waited there. You know, they called me in. And it was like improvising in front of John Carney and Arthur Fugard. And, you know, going on and on. I mean, that was the longest audition that I did. It was like about 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
Yeah, because they kept on calling me back. Callbacks. So every day I would be at the Market Theater. But I mean, yeah, you know, I grew up around Market Theater. So that's like, so ultimately I got it.
So you weren't prepared first time around. Do you remember?
No, but I mean, it was not, you know, it was not like they give you, it was like improvising.
Oh.
You know, and they would give you a scenario and then you improvise.
Random.
With, yeah, just random. And then you keep going and that's it.
Mm. And how was it like working with Dr. John Carney?
Perfection.
Nah.
Perfection in motion, man. He taught me a lot.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, the kind of things that I do in my acting right now, I got from him.
No way.
I'm telling you. I mean, he was that generous with me.
What are some
and
of those things?
Me, yeah. I mean, even now, he calls. I call him my dad.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, you know, I would go to the Market Theater because he used to be the artistic director at the Market Theater. I would go there and... you know, and his secretary would be like, excuse me, what do you want? And I'm like, no, I'm here to see Dr. John Carney. And she would be like, no, I'm sorry, you can't see him. And I'm like, no, I have to see him now. You know, and now I just rock up.
Yeah.
I have to see him now. And it's like, why? I'm his son. I'm his son. And she would go in and say, your son is...
He's outside.
And he would come out, oh, my son, how are you? Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, seriously, I mean, he is my dad and he calls me my son. And every time, I mean, when we communicate, it's like, how are you, my son?
Yeah.
And when he sees me, my son. And
what are those things, some of those things that he taught you that you still do?
I mean, in terms of acting, how to fine-tune the things that I did on stage. You know, and how to internalize and basically bring the best out of a character, you know. And he would sit with me. And I sat with John Carney for days, for hours, everywhere we went. And I would just be sucking the marrow of life, you know. And he would be, you know, he would share all the time, all his experiences, how he would approach, you know, a character, how he would deal with a particular character, all those things he would share with me.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful, man.
Yeah.
And we got to say, we wish him well wishes because he's not well at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not well at the moment, but hopefully he gets a speedy
recovery. But he is a great person. I mean, he's a great man. I mean, he's the actor.
Huh.
The actor
in
South Africa.
Yeah, we interviewed him on the show, man. Amazing.
Yeah, stories.
The travels.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
How did you end up studying in Texas, in the USA?
No, yeah. Actually, he had a hand in it.
Okay.
Yeah, John Carney had a hand in it. Dr. John Carney.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad. He had a hand in it. What happened was I was doing My Children, My Africa at that time, and they had Africa Inc., it's like Africa Incorporated Arts. Mm. It was organization that actually took, you know, young artists and gave them, you know, a platform where they can go and study anywhere in the U.S. So at that time, there was an opening for me to study. And he had heard that, you know, I'm interested in studying even further, you know, from, at that time I was at FUBA.
Yeah.
You know, and he was like, Raplan, are you still interested in going, you know, study somewhere? And I said, yeah. And he told me, no, I thought Fuad and myself are, you know, are on the board of this organization, and, you know, there's an opening for a youngster. And I'm like, yeah, I would do it, you know. And then he said, okay, perfect. But, the thing was, I had to raise money for my ticket to Texas.
Wow, okay.
Mm. And do you know what he did?
Mm.
He went to the people he knew.
Mm.
And he was like, no, I have this youngster.
Mm.
Mm. And he wants to go to. And suddenly, I was given a check on stage.
Wow.
Like covering my flight
to
Texas.
Mm. How much was the flight at that time?
I don't know. I don't remember.
But 100 grand.
It was a lot of money.
Mm.
It was a lot of money because at that time, there were no direct flights.
Okay.
From here to the U.S. So you had to go through, London and,
yes,
and connect from London to the U.S.
Is this your first time on a plane?
No. It was not the first time.
Oh.
I mean, my children, my Africa, with John Kenny and Arthur Fugard.
You went to England.
Yeah, I mean, because we went to England.
Yes.
We performed in Oxford,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
We performed in Oxford. We performed in London at the National Theatre there, in Toronto. You know, I was everywhere around here.
Yeah. Mm. So I get a little talk with you from Midlands. When you get to America, aren't you like shocked at the culture? Are you amazed?
No, I was ready for it.
You were ready for it. Okay.
Yeah. I landed and I said to myself, 4 years.
Mm.
And I'm out of here.
Mm, mm.
Yeah. And the humidity and and I was like, Rabulana, focus.
Eh.
You know?
Eh.
You came here for a reason.
Eh.
Focus on that.
No, Jean, because I'm not papa.
Yo. And I had to buy badly this thing, this corn meal. I had to buy that rubbish. because I used to, you know, share with these boys, you know, it was a house, so it was a commune there. And we were sharing. And they would look at me like, Rabbi, are you okay? Kid, what do you mean? And like, well, keep busy, get back. And I'm like, what are you doing? You know?
He's beating the pot. Yeah.
And not only that, like, there was a time I was doing my washing, okay? And they're like, why are you doing this to yourself? You know? Why are you doing this to yourself? You know you can take this thing to a laundromat. You know? And then they, they will do this,
yeah.
And they will even iron for you if you want. And I'm like, no, man, I'm fine. That's good. So just stay in your name. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there were weird things. They would be looking at me like, what is wrong with this? but it was fun. I learned a lot. I have to be honest.
But you're from a very religious family, and how did they like feel about it? Suddenly, you're traveling the world, the acting. Because I'm sure that's not what they envisioned for you.
No, I mean to start with, now, I was like, "Negile dom." I was that child. You know, my parents kept their fingers crossed, or at least if I totally can go through this line, yeah, metriki, maybe that, you know. So when I told them I want to go and to university and to study a degree, I'm sure they were happy, man. They were like, wow, at least,
wow,
thank you. At least, you know, he wants to go and study something. Like I was a bit naughty, actually. Yeah. I was naughty now growing up. So, hey, guy, Nikila troublemaker. So that's what it was like. They were looking at me like,
when you say troublemaker, no, it's
that.
No, it's that.
Nah. What's the one who's not going to sweep, you know?
Sweep.
So I would gamble. I mean, I used to gamble like Zwepe, Madaisi. And we would do it even in class while the teacher, go black bottom Wallabies, and we would be doing like, but it was like stupid things, and it was like for night it was an addiction.
Yes, yes.
You know, because it kept on, and you know, one day I woke up and I said, "No, I'm not doing this anymore," and that was it. So and that was it, and I stopped. And they would call me, "Get accessible, get that right into a chance."
Kishap.
So I die. See, it's as it. Kishap, you focused, you know.
Yeah.
So second year when you're in America, your bursary, you lost it, I think, ne?
Oh yeah. And when I was here, you no, what happened was the same organization that took me there, ne?
Yeah.
It had to fold, like whatever happened then, you know, So, but that particular year, it was my second year. So that particular year, I was coming home, and I was coming home for like 3 months. I was during the summer break, so I was coming home for 3 months. So at that time, that's when the whole organization in AFL. So. They promised me, but no. We're not a planner, don't worry. Everything is covered. Your tuition is covered from here on up until Ufe. And I'm like, okay, that's good. I'm fine with it, sharp. Then I came home, chilled for 3 months. I'm like, hey, load shedding. No, we did have load shedding.
Oh, no way.
Wow, like it. Didn't allow cheering, but we complain. I go, ah, man, we grew up with this thing, man.
Oh, wow.
Into Senyan. When you used to have, you know, you used to have a blackout for like 3 weeks. And,
3 weeks?
Yeah, it was normal. So, but the thing about it is, I came here and I chilled for like 3 months. And then I went back. When I got back, I'm like, okay, guys. You know, I'm writing emails and I'm waiting tuition. It went quiet.
Ooh.
Suddenly, this organization does not exist anymore.
Eh?
The people that I was used to communicate with, I can't reach.
What?
Whoa. And now I'm like, am I getting stuck here? What the hell is going on?
So it was a scam.
No, it was not a scam. It was closed. The whole thing, yeah, the whole organization closed down.
You write two emails. What year is that? It's letters, I'm sure. I'm sure you meant letters. You said you're writing emails.
Yeah.
Wow, for real.
Hey, when I got to, hey, let me tell you, when I left South Africa, it was like in 91. When I left in 91, I hadn't touched a computer ever in my life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I got to the U.S. and they were like, your homework, you will find it on such and such a portal.
Whoa.
Mokai guy, and I had to learn how to use this thing. I mean, you know, no one learned to work in Macintosh.
Hey,
yeah, Mac, hey. Apple.
I learned, yeah, it's Apple, yeah.
The original,
the original McCoy.
Wow.
I learned how to use a computer with that thing, and you know, I wanted to take a course, but the guy that I was sharing with, ne, had a Macintosh, and he was like, Raplana, you know what? Don't waste your money.
Yeah.
Save your money. Or here's a computer.
Mm.
Just switch it on. And I switched it on. And that was it. And it was like, press anything you want to press.
Yeah,
this is how this one works. This and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know? And that was it.
That's beautiful.
So, but yeah, used to write emails.
What jobs did you end up doing then to pay for your fees?
So I had to, I became a teacher's assistant.
Okay.
Yeah. So like, you know, and I used to give lectures for philosophy. I used to go and give people lectures of philosophy, go talk to a class about South Africa and all those things, and I would get paid. So I would get paid, and I had to negotiate with the university for me to do work for my faculty.
Nice.
And then, yeah. And I survived. And ultimately, as I was doing all of that, yeah. I was busy applying for bursaries.
Okay, you know? Yeah.
And I got one from the UN, United Nations.
Oh, yes.
So they gave me a bursary, and it came, you know, like Wabona, at the right time. Already you have paid your fees, and this money is back paid and Yatla. I bought a car.
Hey!
That was my first car ever. So I was like, hey.
You bought your first car in the US?
Yeah, in the
US. Wow, what a flex.
Yeah. Jeez,
I bought my first car ever in the US. But that was, yeah, that was nice.
Yeah.
And I remember it was $4,000.
Wow. And then you got your degree?
Yeah, and I got my degree and I got an offer to go and be an artistic director at a theater in Chicago.
Wow.
And I said, nah, man.
I'm going back home.
I'm going home.
To my blackout.
And people are like, why are you going back to... Aren't people killing black people there? Yeah, white people are killing black people. And I'm like, no. What do you mean? No, it's like, you know, it's a struggle. I'm going to join those guys.
I don't want the soft
like,
life.
They didn't understand why am I going back to South Africa where people are dying.
And you came back 1995,
right? Yeah, I came back 1995.
So what's the first gig you get when you come back?
No, when I came back, the first, I got a meeting with Munin, the late Munin Lee, with, you know, and Munin was like, okay, so what do you want to do? And I said, I don't want to do anything. I want to just sit and do nothing for 3 months.
Okay.
And do nothing. I'm tired. Because, you know, school. Sometimes, and I was a hard worker.
Hey, where's the car, by the way? Mm-hmm. At this time, where's the car?
Did you sold it.
Oh, you sold it.
I sold it, and yeah. I sold it, and I, you know, bought, you know, like, you know, music system, nice, with 5 discs, you know, 5-disc player thing, and I'm like, yeah, I shipped it.
And then my
and some morons by Uzo are writing. Get out of these guys. Do you? I wish, you know, I wish I was there when they were stealing, you know, from my house. Mm. I wish I was there to tell them, guys, let me give you a story about
this,
you know, this thing. It's Wakuka.
Yeah.
They stole that thing. I'm like, fuck this part.
No ring, come up, baby.
I was like, Umwana, that side, you didn't have,
No, for the first year, nothing.
Nothing.
No, for the first year, I was focused. Negatola the A. And an A,
A for, not for
A for yeah, not for S. And you're serious.
For real.
Like you told her, yeah, A+. For like A+, keep my Coco US is between 80 and 90.
Yeah.
I mean 90 and 100. So how to say in under 95 K-A-. How to say above 95
A+. K+.
Like I was gunning for the A+ all the time. Like, focused.
Wow,
I was focused for the whole year. Seriously, no woman, nothing.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Because you also couldn't let Mragani down as well.
Yeah. He was the first guy that I would send my results to.
Yes.
Wow. Your dad.
So yeah, you're speaking to Monet at the late Monet.
Yeah, Monet. And I said, nah, you know what? In actual fact, can I just chill for 3 months? And I chilled for 3 months. And then after that, I started working. But I was quite clear. At that time, I didn't want to do mediocre stuff. You know, I didn't want to do mediocrity. And actually, you know, I was serious and I took my craft very seriously.
Yeah.
You know, and the kind of work that I did, you know, I was nearly choose. Yeah, and I was very careful about the things that I did. And I told her, Gary, but I don't want to be part of, you know, these dramas. Some of Nelly TV, man, going to TV 2, something like that. Yeah, some of CCTV, next, Akidibat, you know. And so most of the things that I used to do, Nelly, stage work.
Oh, theater.
So, yeah, I was, yeah.
So when does Generations come calling? When does Generations come calling?
Generations? Actually, Generations didn't come calling. It was my agent at that time, one of the associates, who was like, Rapulana, don't you want to be part of Generations? And I was like, how much?
Mm.
Okay. That's interesting. I think I can do that. Okay, fine. I'll go and talk to them.
Yeah.
Then, you know, I think after a month, that's when they called and they said, you know, they want to see me on screen and everything. And I went in.
And you were the original cast, ne? How was that like when it started?
No, I was the original cast for Isidingo, actually.
Oh, wait, you played a minor.
Yeah.
One of the minors.
Yeah, in Isidingo.
Yeah, his first big role for the longest time.
Yeah, Gottlieb. It was from 1998. But, I mean, when I joined, Generations was already there. It existed. And I think, I remember going there one time with a friend of mine who was going to audition. And I was looking at him like, hey, you're wasting your time. Why are you doing this thing? Yeah. And then, but he didn't get the role. So, and at the time, I got the role, and it was like, "What? Who is this guy? No, Kita. Oh, fine." And at that time, it was not this thing, multiple languages.
Okay.
So it was just English.
English, okay. Yes.
Yeah, it was just English.
Mm.
So Generation was just predominantly English.
Mm.
And then, I went in, and they saw me, and they were like, they started writing the character and everything, and I think they liked it a lot, and they liked what I was doing with the character, and it grew and grew and grew, and then I became Tau.
Yeah. Mm. And how did you manage to stay on it when everybody else was getting fired?
when everybody else was getting fired?
Yeah.
And so was that exodus of the actors not being happy.
Of not being happy.
Mm.
Okay. Now, you know what? Let me tell you something. Every little thing that I do it because of the love that I have.
Of course.
This craft.
Mm,
That's the first thing.
Mm.
And I need to enjoy it.
Mm,
I can't stand the fact that someone is going to be sitting on a couch watching me on television or, on the big screen, enjoying the stuff that I did and my memories of that stuff when I was doing it, were horrible. No.
Mm.
Now, everything that I do, I'm having fun all the time. But most importantly, it better be worth...
Your time.
My time.
Yes.
So money comes into...
the equation. Of course.
So that's the first thing. Money.
Mm.
That's what it is. Now... If at all you don't offer me, we agree to disagree.
So what if the money is good but the production is mediocre or something that you don't?
I won't do it.
You won't do it, no matter how much.
No matter how much.
Have you ever done a production which you thought was going to be nice, and then?
I've never done a production where, I thought it ended up being horrible. I go in. I mean. There are certain productions that I became part of, but at the end, I'm like, I'm out.
Yes.
So that's what it is.
So what needs to happen where you're like, okay, cool, I'm not doing this anymore?
Respect me.
Respect me. Yeah.
Respect me and respect my, my craft.
Ne.
Yeah.
It's very important.
Yeah, it's very, very important.
Mm.
Sometimes people do things just.
Yeah.
And I don't.
Yeah.
I go all in.
Yeah. Which soapy would you say is your favorite out of all the ones you've done? You've done so many.
All of them.
All of them.
No, but you know what? My favorite would be Isidingo.
Isidingo.
Because Isidingo was, Pumla Hopper, who is, I think she's, who was actually, when it ended, was the executive producer for Isidingo or supervising producer, whatever the title she was. And I went to her office one time and she showed me the first ever episode of Isidingo. I was like, wow, this is beautiful. And at that time, Isidingo was hardcore. It was, you could see on screen the grit and the roughness and you could even smell what you are watching. So it was nice.
And movies, you've done so many movies, man.
Movies, you know what? I will tell you because these ones, I co-produced with Kenneth and Jen Turner. My favorite is White Wedding and Paradise Top.
No way!
But yeah.
Not even Jerusalem.
No.
What?
Yeah, because I'm biased. That's what it is. That is my
your baby.
Yeah. Those are my babies. Jerusalem.
Yeah.
It was lovely.
How did you become friends with Kenneth Nkosi? I was actually with them last week at the airport.
Yeah. Kenneth, where you used to attend, can I give the Market Theatre Lab?
Okay.
Yeah, used to go there. So, not because, you know, when I came back, I used to hang out a lot, go Market Theatre, and, you know, and I used to visit Market Theatre Lab and stuff like that. That's when I met Kenneth.
Mm.
And we became friends, and we've been friends, you know, tight.
Yeah, still best friends. And you guys own a production house together, ne?
Yeah, we Stepping Stone Pictures.
Mm.
Yeah, that's the one that produced
White Wedding.
White Wedding and yeah, and some other stuff.
So when do you decide? Because it seems like everybody's doing this, where the veteran actors and actresses start their own production. Looking at us, Connie Ferguson,
mm-hmm.
who's doing Love and Hip Hop again? Sonia Mbele.
Yeah.
When does that transition happen?
You know what? I mean, acting. I think more especially here in South Africa, it's not sustainable. It's not sustainable. And also people kind of like, they treat actors like just, you know, a piece of furniture more often than not, you know. I mean, you have to demand respect and, you know, you have to fight for it. And for people like Bo Koni, Bo Sonia, Bo Rapulana, you know, it should be a given.
Yes, yes.
You know,
yes,
it should be a given. For
you've earned the right, yeah.
You know, you've earned, yeah. Well, one of the kind of things that both Denzel Washington
100%.
You know, overseas and stuff like that. And Bonnet, they are also given, you know, that support.
Mm.
That, you know, mm. And people like, and I cannot even know, in South Africa, people like that thing. I mean, what does that mean?
Open up the industry.
Open up the industry.
But I mean, I'm like, squeeze it, you know, I'm 55.
Mm.
I can't be competing with a 20-year-old.
Mm.
Really?
Mm.
How is that possible?
Mm.
You know, but I mean, it's about now also because, you know, you've been, you know, in this industry for such a long time. You feel, you know, there's more that you can give. Than just the roles that you create on screen or on stage. So I think that's
But why is it like that? Because the industry here is booming. There's money to be made.
There is money to be made. By whom?
Mm.
By whom? I mean, now, you know, sometimes I laugh at this fact. You're sitting there with a bunch of people, you know, and suddenly NFVF, you know, National Film and Video Foundation, would, in actual fact, put you under one umbrella and say, all of you are filmmakers. And you're like, okay, what did you do? And this guy, no, I shot, there's something that I shot on my iPhone, or I did shoot something, short film. And now suddenly, now I'm competing with that boy for the same status. I mean, I don't understand. I'm like, number one, you know, a national and film, you know, National Video and Film Foundation should be, you know, kind of like there are filmmakers and there are upcoming filmmakers, and there has to be that distinction. You can't just, or you know, put the, you know, and I think people do not understand what goes into production.
Mm.
I don't think people, you know, people who are, you know, in a position to make decisions, I don't think they know what it means.
Mm.
You know, people think, like you guys.
Yeah.
People think, it's just the two of you and then you're just having fun and you go home.
Mm.
You know?
But most of the times we do,
but it's not that.
Nobody,
this podcast all over now.
Yeah, suddenly everybody wants to have a podcast. Why do you want to know McG? But why years or Linanga years? There was one time, you know, I met up with this, you know, great musician, this guy. And he looked at me and he was like, Raps. One of that role in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
That's my role.
Wow.
I would have killed that.
Hey, why is Zola saying that?
That song. That's my song, man. I would have done wonders with that song. It's not like that. People do that, seriously. And you're like, no.
Yeah.
You know? And you're right about, you know, and it takes a lot. Yeah. People think, or no, this thing, you woke up yesterday and today it was what it is right now. Yeah. But there's a whole lot of things that you did to get it to where it is. I mean, it's like Bo Coney, you know, Coney Ferguson. Coney, it's not like, you know, she woke up one day and she had, you know, Ferguson films and early The Late Show. No, they worked really hard.
And you guys should be paid what was due to you. I mean, look in America, dog. Like, Tom Cruise does one movie a year, gets 20 mil, he's done.
That's it.
Yeah. People, that's it for now. When I go into what, there's this role that I want to do. Beautiful. Then present. Then the next thing, we talk money. Then Mutaru, this is all we have. And I'm like, okay, just if that's all you have, good for you.
Mm.
But now.
So why don't you go to Hollywood then? Hmm? Like Dr. John Gani?
No, but.
You don't have any ambitions to
nah.
For real?
Yeah.
You good?
No, I'm good.
Nah.
I'm doing a lot, huh?
Mm.
A lot. You know, someone was saying, why didn't you stay in the US?
Yeah.
I'm like, then if I had stayed in the US, you wouldn't be having Jerusalem. You
of course, of course.
White wedding.
You yes. Tzotzi.
Parada stop. Tzotzi. You wouldn't be enjoying that.
No, so I get that's it. What I wanted to ask you, man. There's a question I wanted to ask you.
There's a question that you wanted to ask me.
Yes.
Okay.
It just slipped my mind now. I wanted to ask you. What were we talking about now?
We were talking about Hollywood.
Hollywood.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. What's the solution? Yes. What's the solution? How do we fix this problem?
No, but I mean, it's about changing people's mindset, you know? I mean, to start with, I think what we are producing right now, it's mediocrity. Most of the stuff that we are producing right now is mediocrity. I mean...
are you talking across the board, like film, theater...
So, No. You know, when it comes to theater, in actual fact, theater is coming up nicely, which is the kind of work that is being done by Bumaka Theater, Soweto Theater, State Theater. Beautiful stuff. Eh? That's coming up right now. And I love the fact that people are just going back to their roots in terms of saying, okay, fine, we need to be telling good stories and we need to be telling them very well.
Mm.
And, you know, when I go to the theater, it's like fun. It's, you know, it's great. But when it comes to television, it's mediocrity, you know, most of the stuff that we are producing. When it comes to film, I mean, in South Africa, I mean, I'm sure an average of about 120 films, you know, go up, you know, across, you know, the big screen.
Mm.
And maybe about 9 of them are South African, you know. And then of the 9, it's like 4 of them are, independently produced. And I'm like, why aren't we putting money into the arts? Why? You know? And they will tell you how they are putting money into like NFVF. But NFVF, but if 250 million rents to share amongst, filmmakers and to produce films. 250 million is just one film.
Yeah.
In all honesty, that's all you have to produce a good film. It's just one film. Little and happy, you know, we end up kind of like trying to rob Peter just to pay Paul because you know there's no money.
But didn't Netflix help? Aren't they pumping money into SA productions?
Yeah, they are. They are. Netflix is doing very well in terms of because the production, but it's also the kind of money that they are putting in.
Yeah,
you know, Netflix would put in an average of about 10 to 30 million bucks into a production. Runama South Africa, I mean, really.
Yeah.
Someone expects you to produce a film for 1 million rands.
Mm.
You can't.
Mm. So who should be putting in the money? Is it private money or?
It's private. Private money. hey, there's loads and loads of money in South Africa.
Yes, yes, yes.
Papa mba itola raso, iduzi fela ko pala pala raso, you know?
Hey, on the couch.
So, if you can walk in and walk out with, you know, I'm sure we can raise money.
Yeah.
You know, privately. I'm not even talking government. I'd say privately. But, I mean, government has to lay the platform for things like this to happen.
Yeah. You know what?
For things like this to happen. Yeah. Well, like the National Film and Video Foundation should be raising money. Mm. You know, should be given, you know.
But why is arts government's responsibility? Why is the arts government's responsibility?
No, I mean, to start with, if I told you go to SABC, SABC is government property.
Yes, of course.
If I told you want to produce anything that's going to end up on air, it has to go through the proper
channels.
Legislature, you know, laws and everything that govern, you know.
Yeah.
So government has to lay at least that foundation to say, okay, fine, this is where we are. This is how we are going to support. But we are inviting everybody else to put in money. And private funders, they're not going to put money into stuff that they're like, what is it?
Yeah.
Never?
Yeah.
And most people, they don't know. Mm. You know, people don't know. They're like, why are we putting
and is
money?
There money? Is there money in like movies and stuff? So if I spend 20 million on a movie, how much would I be able to get back?
I mean, Runad, I will tell you now, and I'm talking from our experience.
Sure.
Our first movie that we produced was White Wedding.
Yeah.
Our initial thing was we'll spend $1 million.
Of course.
And we'll shoot it as quickly as we can.
Yes.
And we raised that $1 million.
Yeah.
But we ended up actually spending $6 million on that.
Jeez.
And that's what it is.
Yeah.
The second one, which was Paradise Top, we spent $12 million on it. But the good thing, we made that money back.
Back, yeah.
Yeah.
So you break
even.
We made
that money back. Yeah. So right now, it's like, if I told you, you see White Wedding on ET on SABC, it's money that we are getting, that we are getting paid.
Oh.
So we are licensing it to
them. Okay.
If you see it on Netflix, we are licensing it to Netflix.
So the money's in the licensing.
Yeah, the money's in the licensing.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, when in the comeback, like after the fact.
So Blood and Water, production like Blood and Water, that they licensed that?
No, Blood and Water, it was, I don't know. Mm. Because this is how Netflix works.
Yeah.
Netflix, you can produce your own thing.
Okay.
And license it to them. Oh. So with your own money.
With your own money.
And they will pay you.
All right.
Yeah, for licensing fees. Or you can do a co-production with Netflix. Or Netflix can give you the money and they will own it for, I'm talking about intellectual property.
Yeah.
They will own it for like 7 years and after that give it back to you.
Well, that's when it says Netflix original.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, when it says Netflix original, yeah.
Oh, so Blood and Water, which one does that follow?
Blood and Water, it's Netflix original.
Oh.
Yeah, because I worked with the production house that did Blood and Water last year in around June, July.
Yeah.
Mm, Gambit Films. Great people. And they're producing great work.
Yeah.
I mean, it's also about the quality of the work. I mean, you know, that you put up. And you put out. And sometimes Ronaldo Nalunyata, our audience, you know, we belittle them. Because we produce crap and we give them crap.
Yeah.
And they gobble it up.
Yeah.
And people are like, yeah, Mar, people are watching these things. Yeah, because there's nothing else to watch.
100%. Mm. Let's talk about your private life.
My private life.
It's very private.
Private life.
Hey,
oh, yes,
hey,
I do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? Yeah, funny enough, I do have a private life. No, it's true. No, it is true. I do have a private life.
Yeah.
Mm, and it is private. No, seriously. No, seriously. I will tell you something. I'm not Jerusalem. Jerusalem, you can go, you can download it, you can, stream it, you can do whatever, and you can fast forward it, rewind it at your own time.
Yes, yes.
You know? Mm. But what about with my private life?
Yeah.
It's mine.
Yeah.
Can I have something
that's
mine that I can control?
Yeah.
or that I can't control.
But how do you balance that, man? Because some people, hey, it's difficult for
them. No, it is difficult. You know, somebody was telling me that, you know, but you are a public figure, so your life is, you know, it's for public consumption. And I'm like, no, it's not. My private life is my private life, honestly speaking, you know. I mean, we have, like, all our private lives, and there are things that happen, you know, in your life, and, you know, that come and go. That's what it is. It is life. Otherwise, it wouldn't be interesting.
But can we talk about what happened in 2016 on Valentine's? I think you got into a car accident, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, that car crash.
Yeah.
So what happened is, and I don't know, there was a cousin of mine, and I'm sitting at home, and I'm chilling, and it's like, so it was a Sunday. I'm thinking, I'm bored. And I'm so a cousin of mine invites me over and says, no, man, she's from Mafike. Come and spend time with us. And I'm with these people and whatever. And I'm like, and I went there. We chilled. Kaizer Chiefs was playing on that day. Yeah, we in a low win a Chiefs. I mean, that was like one of the rarest moments. So we watched the game, Chiefs here win and everything. So around 10, and Kikamu Centurion, yeah. Around 10 o'clock, I'm like, okay, guys, I'll see you. It was lovely, you know, and it was, you know, this whole family with the kids and everybody, and we had a good time. And I'm like, I'm going home, so sharp, I have to work tomorrow. So the next thing, so nicely fair, like, you know, you know, these things, you know, you should observe, do whatever. No, I'm not even doing that. I'm just chilling. I'm waiting for the traffic lights to come on. And there was a loud bang. And it was my window actually falling into pieces. And I'm thinking, what the hell is going on? So, okay, this guy is climbing into the car. And at the same time, there's another one at the back. Leno tuba window. Yo, I'm telling you. So, how about this one are in a shift. So, okay, fine. And I'm like wearing shorts, sandals.
Yeah.
It's hot, you know. So, and I'm trying to shift. So, as I'm trying to shift, safety belt, you know. Jacked me back. So as he jacked me back, it was an automatic, that car. I just put my foot on the floor.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Sure.
That car was flying. Yeah. It was flying. And it's one of those things. So, you know, the on-ramps that go under the bridge. It's one of those. And I'm sure that curve, I was driving at 200 kilometers as I was going. And going on to N4.
And the guys fell?
N14, actually.
The guys fell?
No, they didn't fall. They're inside. Yeah. At that time, they're inside. And at that time, now my head, I'm pumped up now. I'm telling them where to get off. The clap attack about Rukhinans on Ebafana Balika Mokari, oh, but let's tunya Mokari. You know what? In actual fact, it's a good thing. Today, all of us are going to die. All of us. So, and as I'm driving, and this car is going like at
200,
no, even more, 260, I think. But I've got the you know, how about the metal on the floor?
And that you're ready to die?
You're
ready to die?
Yeah. And I'm holding off this other one who actually was, because Baba Tua Hejaka Kulu. So I'm holding on to this thing. So, Astunya, I think, realized who I was. Not in my head, that's what I think it was. Realized who I was. And he was like, yo, sorry. And at that time, I know, stop a koloi raise. And I'm thinking, have you ever seen N14? N14 doesn't have street lights.
Yeah.
It's dark, that thing. There are no trees. Like, I realized, because I wanted to hit a tree with that car. I wanted to drive onto a tree with her. And I'm driving. And as I'm driving, this boy is like, no, stop, so that we can get off. And I'm thinking, these boys are going to kill me. if I stop. You know what? I'm not stopping. If you want to get off, you'll get off. So as I'm driving, the one at the back jumped out.
Hey!
No, opened the door, jumped out.
Oh, he's fully in now.
Hmm? Yeah, they're both fully in.
He's jumping out the car, bro.
He's jumping out the car.
He's jumping out the car.
Right now, he's getting
so this one, I don't know what he did. This one, I don't remember anything after that because the car went. And the next thing that I remember, I mean, it was me sitting there and there's this smell, so I airbag, you know, everywhere. And I'm thinking, because this guy is opening the door and he's like, sir, are you okay? Are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. And I'm sitting and I'm trying to lift my arm to see exactly what the hell is going on. And I can see blue light, red light. And I'm thinking, well, that's it.
Hey, you're the real
Then I survived. You know, funny enough, I survived. I mean, they had to fly me out of, helicopter to Mill Park. And the next thing I opened my eyes, I'm like, what the hell?
Hey,
but at least because they kept on talking to me, you know, like, I don't know, maybe to keep me awake.
Mm.
You know, say, what's your name? What's your name?
Yeah.
And I'm like, Rapula Anasipe. Sir, what's your name? Hey, these white people. I have to spell my name for them. R-A-P. So I got to the hospital, they were like, do you know where you are? Hey, I don't. I don't know where I am, but no. Mel Park Hospital. Okay.
That's crazy, man. So Valentine's is around the corner. What does Bra Rapulani do for his wife on Valentine's?
Everything.
Nah.
Do you only do it on Valentine's? It's like every day. It has to be every day. But there's something special that I will be doing.
Yeah. How long have you been with your wife for?
I'm not married.
Oh, you're not married?
No, I'm not married. I was married, got divorced. Mm. But I have someone in my life.
Oh.
Which is good.
Oh.
I have beautiful kids.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
So when you...
They're all funny.
So when you were doing a drum interview, ne? And yeah. You spoke about how you cheated on your wife, is that the ex-wife?
What? Why not? Do you read drum magazine?
Yeah, I do.
No, but that's the funniest thing because drum magazine printed stuff. No, we had an interview, but I never spoke about those things.
Yeah. Did you read that article?
Mm. I remember seeing
that. Because it's
not. And I was like, when did I ever. And the funniest thing about that interview.
Let me read the article for people who don't know.
I had someone who was a stylist for me, for that cover. And I said to them, you must listen to everything that I'm going to say and the questions that they are going to ask.
Yeah.
And I bet you it will not be exactly what I'm saying.
It's
going to be something else. And when they read that article, they were like, what the hell? Can they make this thing up like this? Exactly.
So this is what the article said.
Yeah.
It was alleged that you were dating your generation's The Legacy co-star Zoe Mtiyane, but the relationship ended due to you dating another colleague, Zandile Chukulu.
Okay.
So those are all rumors.
Human. I have a private life. I've been with women in my life. Yes, I used to go out with Zoe. And that's it.
Yeah.
I have someone else in my life right now.
So when you went out with Zoe, it wasn't an affair. Like you had broken up with your wife.
People, I've been divorced forever.
Yeah.
For quite a long time. For more than 10 years.
Though. 10 years.
That's why, why do you read stuff like that? A1 port.
So
if I had known, I wouldn't have come. This guy Mbona drum
magazine. You need to get that drum roll.
No, it's always good to ask, you know, and hear from the horse's mouth.
But it's a good thing
to
ask, and it's a good thing to hear it from me, because I'm telling you, you know, the one thing that I've learned about journalists and also articles that you read, you know, half the time they're not true. You know?
Why is that?
I remember, you know, when we were starting up, you know, young as we were at that time, and you try by all means to appease journalists.
Yes,
you try
by
all means, you know, to be fair with them. And the things that they write is just out of this world. I mean, there was a time I remember, Gary, you know what, because we had gone to some event.
Yeah.
And Nekinali Kennethy, you know, because he's my friend.
Sure.
We were suddenly gay.
Hey.
Whoa.
Yeah, okay. Okay, fine. What should we do? Okay, no, maybe we just fell out. No, you know, we should just hang out with other people.
Yeah.
We're hanging out with other people. Oh, they think Bonet, they are the in thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me try her and sit still and not do anything. Oh, he was just sitting there, not doing anything, not talking to anyone. Yeah. He thinks he's like...
He's arrived.
Yeah. You know, like, better than everybody else, you know. Who does he think
he is?
And I'm like... Really? Because they are going to write. Now, immediately, now somebody from Sowetan calls, somebody from Sunday World or Kanakin City Press calls. I just drop the phone because whatever it is, they will write it and they will write it any which way they want to.
So with the drum magazine article, right, if they wrote stuff that you didn't say, can't you sue them?
You know... I don't have the means to do that. I do not have the means to do that. I remember, you know, there was Kenneth was, you know, like angry about something that they had written and Kintu and Musowetin Sunday World. And Nasisalata, you know, Zolama Javu. You know, I want to. This guy's born. That's their job.
Yeah, that's how they get paid.
Because they have lawyers, to the hilt. But in Hori Bao, they're meant to make sure guard against stuff like this.
So with stuff like that happening in the industry, are you happy or are you glad your daughter's venturing in the same industry as you?
No, but I mean, you know what? Let me tell you something. There's nothing I can do about that. You know, my kids will do whatever it is.
And I
will encourage them and support them in everything that they do. You know.
Yeah,
but you know, you have to always guard against, you know, things like those.
Yeah.
And you have to be strong enough to withstand.
But did you always see Uri, she's gonna be in this arts thing?
Hey, let me tell you, the first role, nearly no Paradise Dog.
Yeah.
And it took, you know, all the strength that Kenneth and Jen had. Okay, you can use her in this, you know. Because I didn't want her, you know. I'm like, no, my kids should just go to school and they will decide what they want to do. You know. But, yeah, she does have... Yeah, I suppose my genes.
Why did you want her in acting or in the particular movie?
No, but I was like, she was still young, you know. And I'm, you know, and one of the, you know, kids get, you know, easily excitable, you know, the little things. And I didn't want her to go into this thing and think, it's all, you know, glitz and glamour, can't die. It's not like that.
And I still listen to music.
Yeah, I do listen to music.
Yeah, what are you listening to at the moment?
What am I listening to at the moment? What about let's see.
Because I know you love Bongo Muffin, TKZ.
Yeah, I love. You know, I love. Yeah,
Zonke.
Yeah, actually, I was listening to Zonke yesterday and today.
Yeah,
listening to Zonke.
And then
it's nice. Not I have to be honest. Not like South African music.
Yes,
South African musicians are talented. Mm. And I'm talking about everything. Mm. Piano, you know, soul music, and I mean people like Judith Sipuma, you know, they have beautiful voices. Bozonke, I mean, really.
Yeah.
So didn't you lose your mind back in the US? Because I mean, what were you listening to then when you were still in the US?
I used to listen to Aretha Franklin. And I used to listen to
stuff.
Yeah, I used to listen to Aretha Franklin. I used to listen to classical music, Beethoven, Mozart, you know. Whoa. When I was studying, I used to listen to stuff like that.
Oh, that's amazing. So I got a couple of questions before you go, Ne?
Yeah.
That I want to hit you with. So these are fire questions. First thing that comes to your head, you must just tell us that.
Okay.
Are ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What shows are you binging on Netflix right now?
Ozark.
Hey!
Oh!
Live Ozark. Oh, is it coming back? Another season? Ne?
I don't know.
Yeah, I hope against hope.
Yeah. Oh, Ozark is brilliant. Yeah. What does your DVD collection consist of?
It consists of South African, loads and loads of African music, actually.
Oh, just music.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Mm. But nice music.
Yeah.
I can have the DVD. DVD is skin to Zakhali. Thank you much. Yeah.
Next one. Do you watch intimate scenes with your family?
Yes, I do.
You do?
Yeah. I do.
That must be awkward, eh?
It is awkward, but I mean, it is there. Whether I'm there or not, they will watch.
Then, you
know, and I'm like, yeah, I do watch intimate scenes with my kids. I do.
What's your favorite reality show?
One Colota.
Keep finger.
Him, Kim, what is this thing on? Can I get
Moja Love?
Yeah, Moja Love. It's like, no, but. I watch it because there are funny things that happen there, and it's like people contradict each other. It's a setup, you know. It's like all these things are just set up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, that's you are lying to me.
Yeah.
That's not right.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
When it, you know, it's like, you know, there's this show I was watching, on Netflix.
Oh yes.
And I'm listening, really. Here's somebody where you contradict. I don't know. I ran out of the house and left my phone. Then I called when I was outside.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, fine. Nobody's asking that question. Nobody's asking that question, Jorge. I mean, but you didn't have a phone. So how did you call when you were outside? That's what it didn't say. Or, you know, reality shows are funny. Eh?
Yeah.
Because it's like, come in. Mari, already there's a camera inside.
Wow, like, right.
Oh, really?
There's a camera.
There's nothing real about this thing. Yeah, they do that. No, but people love real.
One call out. I was checking. Have you seen it? So
it sounds like people getting their money back.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
What are you reading?
You know, I love scholastic books. Right now, what am I reading? You won't believe this. I'm reading The Constitution of Botswana.
Whoa.
Why is that?
Because there's something that I'm doing. I love doing research. I love reading academic stuff. So fiction I'm not that big of a fan, but I do read, you know, books and
yes. Botswana is beautiful though, eh? It's a beautiful country.
No, it's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
Botswana is a beautiful place.
Where do you like, because you've traveled, you well traveled. Where do you like, apart from South Africa, obviously?
But I love South Africa.
Yes.
South Africa is a beautiful place.
Amazing.
It's amazing. And it's like, you know, there are spaces and places that you drive through and you're like, wow, this is beautiful. You know, and it's heavenly. Then it's dry and, you know, there's greenery and then there's, you know, all sorts of things.
And it takes you traveling to see and appreciate.
Yeah, to see. Don't fly.
Mm.
You must drive.
Mm.
You know? And Nali Kenneth, that's one thing that we have in common, driving. No, Zimbabwe is a beautiful place too.
Zimbabwe? Yeah. Wow, we've never been there.
Yeah, Zimbabwe is a beautiful place. Mm. No, Zimbabwe, I love Zimbabwe.
Which side? Mashonaland, Ndebeleland? Because I know there's two.
Ndebeleland, which is not, it's not that developed, you know. So I love that, you know, because it's quiet.
Okay.
It's just quiet.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say something like Paris, Mumbai. No. Ne. Ne.
Yeah. I'm serious. Now, you know, people are like, oh, I'd love to go to Dubai. I'm like, I don't want to go to Dubai.
Wow.
Really. But I would go if at all, you know, just for the experience, I'd go to all these places. But no, I don't see myself, like, you would love to go to India, you know, and experience the food. I'm like, I don't want to go to India. I don't want to go to Paris and sit there and suddenly the Eiffel Tower. You know? I mean, there's so much. You know, there's so much that we have. And Mochateng said, I'd love to go to Paris. Have you been to Botswana? No. Botswana is too far. It's 3 hours. It's 3 hours to Botswana. 3 hours, you are in Gaborone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they're like, seriously? Yes. People. Lesotho, have you been to Lesotho? No. Swaziland? No. Okay. Mozambique? No. But you've been to Paris, Bali, too. You know, like all these places that we have in South Africa, that are beautiful places. And do you know where this is? No, I don't. Where have you been in South Africa? serious. Like if I go to Devon, I go everywhere.
Yeah,
I go to Cape Town. I go everywhere around, and you know, and I drive, and I not like when I never once go like colored areas that they're dangerous. I'm like, no, I'm driving there. I want to see.
But it makes sense because you're an artist. That's where you get the energy and the stories from.
Exactly.
You feed from that.
Yeah, you feed from that. Yeah. And, you know, like there was a time we went to Botswana. Huh? We went to Botswana with friends of mine. And when we were there, and I'm like, okay, fine. Let's drive. Let's go see the villages and everything. So we drove around and with the villages. And they're like, hey, Maria, hey, this is nice. No, Maria, you know, the nicest thing is the people.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Mari, who do we know? You don't have to know anyone. Mm. Like, for instance, here we are. Let's park here. Can you see that old woman sitting under the tree there? Let's walk in.
Eh.
When we walked in, Radu Medisakhan, you know, with respect and everything, we told her who we were and everything. And the next thing, hey, no, it's some cold drink. And we were sitting there.
Beautiful. And
stories were being told. Oh, that's what it is.
Beautiful.
You know? I mean, there's a place called Tromsberg in the Free State.
Yeah.
It's called Tromsberg. So we were doing some industrial theater there. So... it was white people and black people. So, Coco Merkel, some colored guy, a friend of mine. So, let's go eat in one of those houses in the township. So we walked. And in the streets, and we start talking and everything. And you know what? In actual fact, we just want a proper meal. Because the reduced equal and the Josaco guest house in Tele, enough is enough. So, and we ate and everything and nice. So we come back. When we come back, and they're like, so God, where were you for dinner? We went for dinner, in the township there. And, we ate, we are fine and everything. So how much did they make you pay? And we're like, what do you mean, how much? And I'm like, no, you did pay, didn't you? No. They offered us food and we ate and we left.
Ah, but that's because he's famous.
No, but it's not because of
that. Anyone wants to feed
down. Exactly.
You know, last pop star, man. You don't want to shut down food, man, bro.
Imagine you're nobody just walking to someone's house and say, look who's up.
Yeah, it's like, can I look at that? You know, I like making this joke, like, you know, when cops stop me, get, really? Are you sure you want to stop me?
Well,
are you sure? Do you want to go home and feel trouble leba na kunju? Hey, nani ke tsurita? Do you want to do that? Kero wa yitsu bolo kwatela. Me kontlungu lo kwatela bana ka ofela bolo kwatela.
Yeah.
So you can't be doing that.
Oh, must be nice. Last question. Greatest movie of all time.
Hey, The Godfather.
Oh. Hey.
Good choice.
You know, I still haven't seen the second one. I've only seen the first one.
Sassos, I've seen all of them, man.
Mm.
You must binge on.
Nah.
You must. It's nice, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like also, you know, because it teaches you a lot, even in terms of approach to a character. Like, for instance, you know, Rona, if at all you go into an audition and suddenly they ask you for, you know, do this monologue and remember you're a thug. And,
yes.
You know, so Diagoga. Suddenly, but to say, yeah, Yasin, yeah. Whoa, what are you doing? What are you doing? Because I've seen this, just an ordinary guy. Hey, what are you talking to that guy? Yeah, I was talking to him. Hey, that guy. Hey, that guy. No, he's a thug. You see, now that's the thing. There are many faces to what being a thug is. Because you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I wanted to say, did you know the Godfather was funded by the Mafia?
Yeah.
Mm. Mm.
No.
Yeah.
It was funded by the Mafia and it was actually sanctioned by them.
Mm.
Otherwise, it wouldn't have been made.
It wouldn't have been made.
It wouldn't have been made.
So maybe Mafias in SA should start doing movies and soapies, yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what it is.
That's the secret.
That's the secret. But aren't they doing the Mafia? Here, you know, yeah, that's what it should be here. But I mean, they're still doing it in the US.
Yeah, they are. Oh.
Still doing it.
Yeah. Anyway, Pinduk, any question on us?
Yeah. This scar, man, how did you get it? Because you've always had it.
Yeah, I've always
had it. And it's not from the accident, I think.
No, it's not from the accident. It was a domestic accident.
Mm.
You know, those days, no, it's not the cell phone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe landline.
Yeah.
So, our house, yeah, the bedroom, the phone was in my parents' bedroom.
Mm.
So my the bedroom is like on the far end. So when you are outside and the phone rings, it means you have to run around. Go to the bedroom, which was on the far end. So that's what I did as the phone was ringing. But as I was flying, you know, across the, you know, the bed to go grab the phone, and I realized, you know, the person had dropped it. I went mid-air. So as I went down, with that expression, yeah, damn.
Mm.
You know? But honali, one of the side pedestal. And in ali, you know, these corners, I hit myself.
Blood.
So I was like double damn now.
Double damn.
But it worked because you look like a gangster.
Yeah, well, it worked.
Yeah, it worked.
So when people ask me stories and I'm like, I used to belong, you know, to this, you know, this gang, man, and these guys, they attacked us and we had knives and bangwaza. So and those days when you got like when you got a cut like this, it's a cut.
Exactly.
It's just that fella, you know, you can see the inner, you know, side of your mouth, but man, bear a bandage or something.
Yeah.
That's it. Then you live on.
Yeah.
Nobody stitches.
Yeah.
You know, oh. You know, no, I think 12 stitches.
Yeah. Bro, Rapulani, thank you so much for your time, man. Thank you so much for coming through. It's an honor to have you here,
thank
man.
Thank you very much, sir.
And just in closing, what do you want to be remembered as? Eh?
Hmm? As extraordinary.
Yes, yes.
I want to be extraordinary. Like, I left a footprint.
Yeah. I mean, you did. I mean, we're going to be watching your movies for years and years to come.
Thank
your
you soapies, very much.
Everything you've done, man. What's your favorite soapy movie you've done?
Movie, definitely Jerusalem.
Yeah, Jerusalem was crazy.
I fuck with Jerusalem.
Yeah,
sorry for the language.
No. It's amazing. Yeah, no, it's, yeah.
Jerusalem, definitely.
Jerusalem, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was beautiful making Jerusalem, yeah.
What are you busy with at the moment? Are you...
Yes. Yeah. There's something that we will be launching soon. It's a, you know, it's a production house.
Yeah.
That, yeah. And we'll be obviously producing all sorts of things.
So separate to Kenneth, the one you have with Kenneth?
Yeah. Separate to that.
Okay.
But again, Moraka Media is coming
nice,
up.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, and we will be launching it soon. We'll invite you.
And it'll be funded by the mafia, huh?
Yeah, it will be funded. That one will be funded by the mafia. It will be funded by the mafia.
Are there any upcoming actors, actresses that you're excited about?
Hey, you know, no, there's a whole lot of people that are coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that means
I don't
no
want
one.
To be mentioning actors, but no matter how, now.
Who would you ideally pick to play you if there's a movie now being done about Rapulan? A bio?
I don't know.
Yeah. I've got one.
Who?
Abdul Khoza. He could kill it.
He would kill it.
Abdul is crazy, dog. He's amazing.
We discovered Abdul.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Class A.
He was a fireman.
So, Class Act is your baby?
No. It's, you know... Donovan Mesh, some guy. It's his creation. Yeah, but you know, it was sponsored by Amstel and everybody. So
yeah.
Marriage was a good thing. I look at the youngsters that are there now, and I'm like, actually, all these people, you know.
So what were you doing on Plus Act?
Hmm?
What were you?
No, I was a judge.
Oh, you were a judge. I was a judge.
Yeah. I was the one telling them, you know. Oh, that was crap, man.
Yeah.
You can't do that. We help them, you know.
How do you get into character? Do you have like a method or you're so good at this thing?
There is a method, yeah.
Yeah, what's your method?
My method is, it's simple. I mean, obviously, you know, you look at the character Bible and that's what it is. That's what guides you.
What does that
mean? And then you have to tap into, obviously, you know, the experience that I have, life experiences that I have. And that's what it is. And it literally going into, you know, somebody else's, you know, soul.
So, when you say character Bible, what is that?
No, character Bible is like, what are the character traits for this person? Is it, what kind of a person is this? Soft spoken, whatever, and all those things. Yeah.
And then
you go into that and you have to modify them and live in those things.
So are you one of those actors that you can just cry like immediately, like you don't need So right now you can just cry?
Yeah, I can.
I thought my fukati get lessons, dog.
What was that? Okay, fine. What was that? Okay, I'm like, okay, what is this? And I'm like, okay, fine. Are you going to answer the question anytime soon? What was that, actually?
Hey. Hey, I don't know,
I think
man.
He wanted to cry.
Was it real?
No. It looked like PR. No, it looked like PR. It looked like, you know, you have to cry.
R. Kelly style.
Yes.
No, don't do that.
Why haven't you gotten money from Lotto?
Everybody's telling.
No, you know? And I'm thinking, where was I? No, seriously. Man, I don't know, Lotto, you know, to easily get money from it.
Yeah.
Where you go and you play the Lotto.
Yeah.
Can't you know, there's another way.
Don't buy the ticket.
Don't buy the ticket.
Yeah.
You're wasting your time. I'm stopping. I'm stopping buying these tickets.
Yeah.
Salute.
Ladies and gentlemen, round of applause for the legendary Rapulane Sipebo. Thank you so much, sir. We're coming at you live from Mashabela Studios. If you want to use these studios, make sure you email podcast@mashabela.co.za. You've done a couple of interviews with Pradeev, no?
Yeah.
Do you prefer podcast interviews or radio interviews? Because this is your first podcast interview.
This is my first. Yeah. You know, like, you know, there are those people in the radio interviews which... there are those people that don't pay attention to. I agree, because, you know, there's like...
There's screen.
You know, there was one time, some guy, I'm not going to mention his name, and Neluko YFM. And I was like, why did I come?
Why?
For this interview. I was, seriously, because, number one, he would ask you a question, ne? And then... when you start answering the question, he's doing something else. You know, he's doing something else, and he's like on his laptop, and he stands up, would walk. And I'm like, and I'm thinking to myself, should I just keep talking and talking and talking?
When was this? So that we can.
I am not going to say what you mean. Utenyen, I give back.
For real?
I don't. I would get an invitation, but again, I'm going to say flatly no. Thank you very much. I'm not doing that. You serious?
Oh, by the way, thank you so much for coming through. Thanks to our partners, sponsors, Via.
Oh, yeah.
It's a black-owned shoe company. They've got a sneaker for you. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you very much.
That's why I'm asking you, what size are you?
Oh, yeah, that is why. Ne?
Yeah.
No, Maria, this is good.
Yeah.
Plus, let me see. can I get this South African shoe to put on another South African shoe?
Yeah. But as long as South African, we're happy.
Yeah.
No, but we have to guard jealously the things that our, people produce.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Man, I'm gonna tell my mom I was with her and ow. You're gonna be so jealous, man. We out of here, man. Podcast and chill. Boom.
Welcome to Black Excellence. Do not fear, for if you do, just sip on some grandeur. And if you still do, ask ourselves, what would Mapapunzi do? Pagama chila, itlesha. The figgy, Ungoyig, even if when they ask you, how sabine, do not fear. For if you do, just say, Anistivi. This is the medicine of censorship. This is the pill. Which one is that one? Podcast and chill.